Welcome in our new sponsor, Middle Kingdom Wrestling. Were you excited to see some Chinese pro wrestling when AEW announced that they would be featuring Chinese wrestlers on their program? You can now watch Chinese pro wrestling right now by checking out Middle Kingdom Wrestling, aka MKW. MKW is the top pro wrestling organization in China today. They are a unique pro wrestling company with Chinese characteristics. MKW has showcased, developed, and promoted wrestling in other countries such as Nepal, Vietnam, Thailand, South Korea, and more, with particular focus on countries that are part of China's One Belt, One Road initiative. MKW's live broadcasts in Japan consistently attract millions of fans, even often reaching 10 million concurrent viewers. Besides checking out MKW on YouTube and subscribing to MKW, you can also purchase the first ever international wrestling merchandise from Middle Kingdom Wrestling on ProWrestlingTees.com. It says, in Chinese, "Don't lay flat, get up and wrestle." This is a great, great art piece on the shirt. It's funny, it's positive. Best of all, it promotes wrestling and the Chinese culture. So take the call to action from MKW. Don't lay flat, get up and wrestle. Middle Kingdom Wrestling.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Welcome to the business of the business. I am your co-host, JP John Paz from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me, the wizard himself, Mr. Trump Mania, Mr. Lavi Morgan. Lavi, how are you doing today, sir?
Episode 109 and feeling fine. I'm going to try and come up with a pun every episode now, but we're continuing our tour of some of our favorite friends and guests. It's been too long, almost as many weeks as WCW beat WWF in the Monday night ratings since he's been here. But a pleasure to welcome back Matt Ryan of Catalyst Wrestling.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. Always good to be with some of the finest minds breaking down the data that makes up this mishigas we deal with on a daily basis.
Awesome. Matty Ryan, what is going on with Catalyst Wrestling? 300, is that right? Is that the correct number, 300?
Yeah, we are celebrating on New Year's Eve our 300th episode of Catalyst Wrestling Television. We started in April of 2017, and now as we enter our sixth year of operations, we kick off our 2023 schedule at the Bell House on January 22nd. Got a great card for that, but our 300th episode, a high watermark, I'd say, for an independent wrestling television show that is operated literally out of a variety of basements produced every single week. We are reaching our 300th episode with one of my favorite matches throughout 299 episodes, over 300 matches in Catalyst Wrestling history. This one is a special one. Colby Carino and Rob Killjoy in a no-holds-barred match, which in New York City is really hard to pull off. But thanks to our friends at the New York State Athletic Commission, we kept everything above board. And shout-out to our friends at Strong Road Brewery, who hosted our last event, and which is Real Folk Blues, and which taped our 300th episode.
Nice. What's the journey been like getting to 300? I mean, that's a pretty hefty number there.
Oh, it has been... To say that it's been easy would be an out-and-out lie, and even though I'm a wrestling promoter and our job is to explicitly lie to get people to come buy tickets, you can do that at tinyurl.com/rockthebellhouse. That's tinyurl.com/rockthebellhouse. You know, it hasn't been easy. The last 6 years have seen me and every single person who works with Catalyst Wrestling grow and change and morph on a near daily basis, because you're dealing with, in the last 6 years, so much seismic change in the wrestling business, whether it's the rise of MLW returning, AEW returning, the systemic changes within the business have had so many ripple effects on what we do as a company, what we do as a brand, and what we do as a product. You know, we had great partners. We have great partners with the Fight Network, who air us in the United States and Canada weekly. We have really good, really good penetration there, and we have some really solid network affiliates with Intrigue TV, the lovely people at Nudu in Houston, and KVVB just outside of LA. But it's been a journey. It's been a process. It's been a lot of work and a lot of trial and effort. And I'm just happy we reached this new milestone.
When you're kind of doing that and going through the journey, like you said, did you almost not think you were going to get there to 300?
I am one in a long line of stubborn people. And we have a team at Catalyst Wrestling that is resilient, that is persistent, and we'll do whatever we need to get over the line and be better as a company. I'd say right now, Catalyst Wrestling as a company is better than it's ever been, just because of the great people we've brought in from the advent of the pandemic. Brendan Sokler, who's now one of my producing partners with Catalyst, has brought in a great staff, and we've leveled up exorbitantly at every level of our business, whether it's the venues we run in, the locations we run in. We are fully operational in New York. We are a New York company now. We have not run outside of New York City since 2022 started, and the plan is to stay in New York. So it takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of great people. Seeing us cross that finish line, the last show we did of 2022, Real Folk Blues, we were at a beautiful brewery in Red Hook on the day of the New York Marathon. And if you live in New York, Lavi, you know this because you're a New Yorker myself, and you have to deal with Midtown traffic. You have to deal with all that stuff. But marathon traffic is a special type of hell. And the fact that we filled every seat in that building on a beautiful, one of the last beautiful days of this year, in the marathon where there's no public transportation, trying to get to Red Hook is like trying to go to Ridgefield Park. Like, you're dependent on so many different pieces of transportation, Ubers, car services, whatever. We rocked that place, and it's right, you can see the Statue of Liberty, like, right outside. We had a great desk on cam shot of Stephen James and Brandon Lewis, our announced team, and you got the Statue of Liberty in the background. And I went outside, and I wept a bit because of everything that it's taken for us to get to this point. And it's not an ego stroke or things like that. You know, we've done things that haven't worked. We've screwed up. We've made mistakes. It's trial and error. We are in a mode now to where the growth prop of this company is better than it's ever been. The partnerships we brought on, the new chances we're taking with our content, the way we distribute content now, making the move to do full show VODs, launching our own OTT service with the help of Sprinty, which is doing a lot of work with different independent wrestling companies, and trying to be independent DIY, because the one thing you see more than ever is the value of content and the value of owning your own content. And that's a weapon that has served us well, because it's gotten us on Pluto, it's gotten us on Tubi, it's gotten us DVD distribution, and also it allows us to be on regular television. It allows us to retrofit what we do for whatever platform that wants to do business with us. There's a new platform we're working on now that is, we've signed a deal, but they haven't launched yet, so we can't really do anything. But working with them has been a breeze, because it's all about monetizing and commoditizing the content that we already have, building off of the amazing roster of people we work with on a daily basis, and making everybody money. That's the goal at the end of the day, is to make sure that this company is self-sustaining, make sure that every single person who walks in here is valued, not only monetarily, but also personally and professionally. And we're doing our best to just try to get over the hill with that.
So you mentioned the Bell House. You got the big show coming up in Brooklyn. How'd that come about? And, you know, obviously tell us more about January 22nd.
Oh, that has been my Everest since I started promoting shows in 2014. Yeah, 2014. Oh, it's been so long. I hate that. It makes me feel old. I'm old, but it makes me feel older. I grew up like 2 miles away from the Bell House. I grew up in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, and I was going to shows at the Bell House since I was in my early 20s, comedy shows. I've been to a few concerts there, and it felt like the perfect room for independent wrestling in New York. And shout out to Kaiju Big Battle, who were key in getting us visibility in front of the Bell House staff, and Brendan Sokler, my producing partner, lives nearby and knows people there. Drinking Game NYC, which Brendan has been a cast member of. His partner, Callie Dalby, is actually a cast member of that group. And we just started having conversations. We've been in talks with them, since 2021, actually. Since 2021, we were trying to get in there. Our first show of 2021, Ewing, was supposed to be at the Bell House. We were supposed to be in the Bell House a couple of times. Dates didn't line up. We had to make some moves. We had to, you know, we have a business to run. So we were always in conversation with them. We were always talking about what works. And, you know, as we kept building out this year and the proof of concept, the shows that we did at Chilo's in July and October, September, really helped us, because we were right down the street from the Bell House. We were like 20 blocks from there. And we were building a following, and it paid off with our show at Strong Rope Brewery, who were awesome partners as well for our November show. And it was just a matter of time. Just the right things added up, and we're in the Bell House. Our pre-sales are some of the best we've had 30 days out, because today is exactly 30 days out from our show that we've had as a company. And we're going to keep growing once we get through the holidays, you know, when people start having disposable income again and don't have to buy copies of Trump Mania for their relatives during the holidays. It'll be, I think, a great event for us. This card is insane. The stuff we have, the talent we have coming in for 2023 is making us stronger. It's making us better. And we're trying to be really smart in how we approach growing as a business, because you guys know this better than anybody. When you're a startup company, no matter what level you are, once you start to feel the momentum, it's a how quickly do we expand? How do we scale? And some people go the Herb Abrams route. Some people go the AWF route. And then some people go the AEW route. Some people go the GCW route, where you're building meticulously over time. You build these strongholds, you build these markets, and then you work there. And that's why the territories worked back in the day, because they figured out how to market their style of wrestling to their audience, build everything around that audience and brand identity, and start building out slowly. You start going from one town to two towns, three towns to four towns, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of our philosophy, is we want to get these shows right. We want to throw the best party in New York City. The best party just happens to have the best wrestling. So it's all about kind of attuning to that philosophy, trying some Sunday afternoon shows, because a couple of a strong majority of our shows were taking place on Sunday in 2022. This show is taking place on a Sunday in 2023. We might be moving back to Saturdays when we hit March, when we hit our sixth anniversary show. But we have six dates set for 2023. We have three shows lined up at Chilo's, which will be outside, a beautiful venue right across the street from one of the most historic locations in New York, Greenwood Cemetery. If you've watched Catalyst Wrestling Television, you've seen how beautiful those shows are. And we had people literally watching through the fence outside of the venue, trying to watch our shows and watch our matches. And there's a really special energy we're brewing, and we're just trying to build off of it and keep pace.
Avi, I know you got a ton of questions.
Oh, yes. And make sure to count those people that were watching through the fence. That's part of the overall attendance.
Oh, yeah. No, you think we didn't do that?
So, actually, I'm going to start off with a different question than I expected. Anthony Bowens, Scissor Me Daddy, you probably have the highest quality catalog of matches of Anthony prior to AEW debut. So as somebody that has really taken not only great wrestlers, great matches, but has really paid attention to the content, the video is sharp, the sound quality is good, and it's really, like you said, ready for television. What does a content producer do with something like that, having a catalog of Anthony Bowens matches that no one else has?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do. One thing right now is we're trying to build streamcatalystwrestling.com. You get a free 2-week trial on the website. We're trying to build out our VOD platform and give people instant access to matches from Anthony Bowens. We have Nyla Rose. We have matches featuring MJF. We have a great collection of matches with a variety of talent. Sonny Kiss. Sonny Kiss was the second Catalyst Wrestling champion. And we had a beautiful event at White Eagle Hall to crown that champion. But the problem is, when you're trying to put all this footage up, and you also are under a rebrand. So we have to go in there. We have to rebug everything, which is its own process, and then you have to upload it. And it's, you know, not a thing where you can just batch upload everything and then all the data's there. We have to manually upload it because we are DIY, and I'm stupid. I'm like, oh, we can do this on our own and not sign a million, you know, a distributorship with whomever, wherever, whyever. And that's the reason why a lot of people do that, is because it takes a lot of that automation, and they have staffs for that. We don't. And also, we make it harder on ourselves because we do full events and episodes of television. So we have to go in there and manually upload all that stuff. But what it does for us is it kind of gives us not only things for people to watch and search and go down rabbit holes, but it also just bolsters the quality of talent we've had in our company. And it shows the array of human beings that we've had walk through our doors who are now on, you know, there's a lot of people who work on our product, who have worked on our product, who are on TV or work directly on TV every week. Zane Decker, who was our first director all the way back in 2017 when he was living in Australia. He was editing and directing our television for the first 6 months or so from a coffee plantation in Australia. Then he moved up here. Our television immediately got better. And then in 2019, Ring of Honor signs him. And now he's one of the go-to guys alongside Giancarlo Didimo, who's also brilliant. Those two are the future of wrestling television and how we take content in on pro wrestling. And it started with Giancarlo and GCW, Zane working with us at Catalyst, and then, you know, those two leveling up to WWE, Ring of Honor, and now AEW. It's a process. It gives us a lot of pliability, and it allows us to genuinely say our roster is one of the most diverse and one of the best in the industry because Anthony Bowens came from here. Darius Carter came from here. Colby Carino, you know, Colby Carino's run in Catalyst is insane and is so unique and provides a lot of great matches. His match against Homicide, a close set match, is one of my favorite matches we've ever done, because it told such a story and it showed Colby's versatility as a pro wrestler, as a personality, as a character. And that's kind of our job. Our job as television producers, as content producers, is to show and help develop the best version of whatever talent walks through our door. And there are times where we will hit it, we will get it right on the mark, and everything will go the way we want to. Sometimes it doesn't, but it's incumbent upon us to collaborate and work with our talent to give them the best opportunity to grow. Anthony Bowens, his best of five series with Darius Carter showed that versatility. It allowed Bowens to be an underdog, fight from underneath, have an opponent who's trying to outskill him, outpace him. And with Darius Carter, it gave him a great foil. It gave him an opponent that time after time could meet him at his level, could try to best him. And at the end of it, Darius got the win. But look at where Anthony Bowens' career has gone from there. And look at what Darius Carter's story in Catalyst Wrestling has been. It's literally the catalyst to what led him to being our champion for now over 370 days. So it's one thing that has multiple ripple effects, and we can go back to that source and market that source and say this one thing led to so many different things, and you can relive it or watch it for the first time or follow this person's career path from this moment and start extrapolating out.
So I think you came up with a great term about a year and a half ago, like syndication underground.
So I stole that.
You stole it.
Okay. I stole it from Opie and Anthony, but nice. I brought it back.
Okay. You branded it for wrestling. So while you said you have a number of partners over the air, Pluto and so on, interestingly, in this business, obviously, that you're following day to day, is this explode? I kind of think about it as 2.0 or 3.0, this explosion of like aggregation, or a better term, maybe like under one roof, right? We have Fight is being aggressive now with Fight Plus. The Zone, at least internationally, is Premier came out of nowhere, bringing some people that were really involved in Fight. But, you know, IWTV is sort of finding its place again. How will they compete here? But, you know, you always seem to go a different path in terms of, it looks like you're betting on yourself. And I'm always like curious about that. And then like, as soon as you had that announcement, not saying it's related, but it's interesting because you're always a couple steps ahead. Then we hear like Honor Club is coming back and they're betting on themselves. So like, I guess this is a broad question, but like, where do you see this industry going with all of these things? And why do you shift back to your, like your own service?
There's a lot of, because I'm trying to formulate the answer. I'm not tongue-tied. Me being tongue-tied is an impossibility. But wrestling right now, there's the dearth of content you can watch on a daily basis, whether it's on television, on demand. It's impossible to not find wrestling. And it's impossible to not find great wrestling or good wrestling or wrestling that satiates your appetite. And people can get lost, and people can, great content can be overshadowed by great marketing any day of the week. Because if you can't get in front of people, you're going to drown, you're going to die. And then on top of that, when you're on these services, sometimes you get lost in the shuffle. And the way that the CPMs work, it's minutes watched, it's minutes spent live. And a lot of it's predicated on live programming. GCW is purely a live streaming business. People watch on demand. On demand's the key, but they're not doing episodic programming. We are. So that makes us less attractive to a Premier, to a Fight Plus, to an IWTV, because the thing that draws the most viewers, and you're seeing it with ICW No Holds Barred, you're seeing it with a variety, is that live or as live. We don't handle our product that way. And also sometimes the quality, like to stream on Fight, and I know this because I've streamed with Fight with different products and platforms, and they were a great partner to us when we were there. Catalyst was there. And then when I worked with them independently with my work with the A7FL, you know, you're sending 720p. So you're losing a bit of that quality. You're losing a bit of the work and the gloss and the overall presentation that we work really hard for. And at the end of the day, we want to present the best version of our product, and we want to present it for and build our own audience, because audiences get set in their ways. How many people got pissed off when the WWE network in North America went away and people had to go to Peacock. And then you're normalized and you're trying to shepherd that audience with you from platform to platform to platform. The great thing we have with partners like Gas Digital is that our programming always exists on there, but we stream every Saturday morning at 11. Our TV partners, you know where to find us. You know how to get there. And then Stream Catalyst Wrestling, it's just, hey, if you want to watch our content, you want to watch it at your own speed, you want to watch the new episodes of TV, you want to watch stuff uncensored, you want to watch full shows, we're going to give it all to you in one place. And our new partner is a streaming service. And we're going in with them, but it's also a fundraising platform for us. It's an advertising generating platform for us because we'll be selling season passes. We'll be selling live event tickets. We'll be selling merch. We'll be giving away. It's a pseudo version of Patreon, but it's also for corporate. So if you're like, let's just say the business wants to have their logo on the Catalyst Wrestling ring apron or on the ring mat, you can buy this pass. Not only you get all of our content, but your business gets exposure. You get shout outs. You get insight. You get access that nobody else gets. And these are the chances and the risks we're taking because self-sufficiency is the key to every great business model. And we're in a sport where there's so many different segments of the business that if we ended up on Fight Plus, that'd be great. But we know that we're not going to rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're going to be in lower in the batting order because Fight Plus isn't just wrestling. It's wrestling and all of these things. And, you know, GCW is the market leader for our space right now. And we're competing with that. And we're competing with House of Glory. We're competing for eyes and we're competing for airtime and we're competing for space on our own platform. So it's we're counter-programming ourselves if we go that route. If we got an offer and the offer made sense and it made us money, then yeah. But we're not the ones that are, we're not the prettiest person at the dance for these companies. And we're aware of that. So we have to build self-sufficient platforms and build towards self-sufficiency and work on all aspects of our business to be successful because we can't rely on live demand, on demand. We have to rely on so many different segments of our business to be successful. Advertising, marketing, merchandise, licensing deals, things like that to keep us going from year to year. So it does, you know, cause us to innovate in that regard. Or, you know, advertising is the lifeblood of our business. And if we're going on a platform where we're getting a piece of $4.95, you know, X amount of people pay $4.95 a month, we get X of that. Can we sell against that? Are we able to sell against that? Can we insert spots? How much exclusivity is there? What can we, like, what's the pliability with that? So we're trying to build as much of a footprint of our own to make us interested, interesting to advertisers, interesting to marketing partners, interested to people who want to work with us in total, instead of segmenting our business to just one part of it and then hoping that the layer one audience of people who watch Fight Plus will be able to apostolatize our business enough to where we can compete with a GCW, a Wrestling Revolver for eyes, for market share, for percentage. Like, I'm not running against them. Like, I'm not going to run against Brett. Brett, and we've done business with Brett before. They gave us a match on their Fight Forever stream. They've had our talent on there. You know, those guys, and, you know, we have a lot of friends in a lot of different places in the business. It's all about how can we as a company grow and exist within this ecosystem that's being beneficial for everybody.
Something interesting that I noticed in 2022, and I'm sure you did as well, you've, for the most part, you've sort of like built out your own publicity in terms of like you mentioned, like Gas Digital. There's no other pro wrestling on there. There's Michael Bisping, right? So there's eyes and ears, especially with that. But one thing that I noticed, and I was waiting for it for a while, was sort of the buzz, that underground buzz, that Twitter buzz. What did Russo say? Right, like that like smart mark fan sort of thing. And it feels like that element has really picked up, you know, in recently in terms of just like buzz from certain shows and certain media outlets, whether it's our friend Luis Perez of PW Ponderings. I know Bix is a regular at your shows, mentions in PWI. And of course, we can't neglect to mention your regular or semi-regular stints on Wrestling Observer Live from coast to coast and U.S. Navy Army bases and so on. So, like, have you noticed that buzz as well? And where do you think it came from?
It's an amalgamation of things. 2020 to 2022 was really tough for everybody, but we were in the middle of a reorg and we're still, you know, getting our footing down. The thing that that helped us the most was moving to New York City. At the start of 2022, when the world and more importantly, New York City was opening up to audiences again, like we ran shows in Jersey City and Ridgefield Park when we came back in September of 2021, and we were running closed door tapings for all of 2020 and 2021. Being able to run in New York helped because we could leverage the fact we're in New York City. We can leverage that, and also that opened the door to better sponsorships. Better sponsorships led to more money. More money led to more pliability and bringing in bigger names, bringing in Jack Evans, who's now a regular for us. Kid Bandit, she's a regular for us. Allowing us to get Alex Shelley. And it allowed us to focus on the things that we as a company are good at. Presentation, putting on great live events, and marketing our talent and, you know, reaching out to press, sending them assets, sending them things, opening our talent up to interviews, and just trying to be more in the world. 2020 and 2021 was survival mode. We were trying to honor deals, keep ourselves afloat, keep ourselves in business, really focus on who were the core members of our team, you know, on camera, off camera. And, you know, we had to make some changes and we lost some people. We made some moves. We had to completely change our name, and we had to spend that 2 years just re-identifying who we are and allowing audiences to see we are Catalyst Wrestling now. These are the changes we've made. This is the company we are. This is the horses we're running with. This is where we're going to live. And I credit Brendan Silkler. I credit our booker, Lee Mandan. I credit our whole org and operations team for developing this vision and building it out and taking risks, because we took some huge chances this year, bringing in Trevor Murdoch, running New York City buildings at New York City prices. And so far they've paid off, because this has been the most successful year ticket wise, advertiser wise, growth wise in our company's history. If the content world was as open as it was in 2018 when we were on in the UK, when Twitch was amenable to wrestling, I feel like that buzz would have come sooner. But it's not just about buzz. Like Andrew Zarian and I, who do Wrestling Observer, we do Wrestling Observer Live together, and I'm a paid shill on the Matt Men YouTube channel. I host content on there, like Historically Speaking, where I just yell at my camera about why Georgia was better than everybody else. But we talk about levels of audience. And in pro wrestling, there's three levels of audience. And I've explained this to network executives at every level, by the way, every level of this industry, just because of stupid situations I've gotten myself in professionally. You have to look at pro wrestling and every audience. You have your diehard, you have your level ones. They're going to be there every show. They're going to buy a ticket. They're going to buy a merch. They're going to watch the TV. They're going to show up. Then it's people who like wrestling but don't know your product. So that's your biggest market. That's the market base you have to build off the most of. People who have heard of it. People who know about it, but you haven't gotten them in the door yet. You got to get them in the tent. How do you do that? You music man it. Like, day after Christmas, I'm going to be in front of Madison Square Garden handing out flyers. That's just it. Anytime AEW or WWE or New York, me and a street team, we're in front of that building, we're handing out flyers, we're spreading the word, we're apostatizing. And then you're just trying to get your name in the Observer, you're trying to get on websites, you're trying to get, you know, the amount of press releases we send out on a weekly or monthly basis is unconscionable. And the amount of time I have to stare in front of MailChimp and just write out, you know, thank you so much, and da-da-da-da, and then writing press releases when I just want to say, show up to the show and you'll like it, dummy. Can't do that. Sadly, can't do that. But with this, it's just been time, effort, and energy, and the right people, and I just mean the right people who like what we're doing, the people who like what we are starting to find us. And a lot of them aren't wrestling fans. They're people who have found us through whatever means. A lot of diehards, but a lot of people who are going to their first ever wrestling show. And I personally love that. We're making new fans. The one knock on our business since the death of WCW is that no one's doing enough to make new fans. And I think that for a lot of that is because people aren't taking chances. And the thing that GCW's done, the thing that a lot of independents, whether it's the No Ring Bar fight scene here, or just different things throughout North Carolina, throughout PWG is the biggest market indicator for that, because they're marketing cool shows and people who don't even like when the person from the biggest sitcom on television showing up with a shoot superhero who's also her husband. That's where you want to be. Like, we had Julia Stiles show up to our show because she lived in the neighborhood. Like, that's what you want, because you want to show that wrestling's a place where people can come and have a good time, where it's welcoming, it's entertainment, it's an experience that you can buy into. That's when wrestling was most successful, when all walks of life, no matter if you were a diehard or a casual or you've never been to wrestling before in your life, those are when people bought tickets. That's when people came. That's when people were draws, because they were recognized within the cultural zeitgeist. We're not trying to gatekeep with our audience. And I don't think anybody who's trying to build a national audience is trying to gatekeep, but we're trying to show, hey, we're a cool Sunday afternoon show you can go to after brunch in Brooklyn and have a kick-ass time. And also buy a t-shirt, buy a ticket to the next show, because you're not going to want to miss it.
So we could probably have a multi-hour shoot interview. I think we're just scratching the circus. But how hard has it been to resist theming a show 10 Things I Hate About You since Julia has been?
Oh, it was really hard. It was there was a lot of arguments about whether or not we should name a show that, but we didn't end up doing it. We might do it in May or July, but not, it's not in the plans for our calendar for 2023.
Let me turn it over to John.
So, Matt, give us one last big push for the Bell House show and where everybody can find Catalyst Wrestling.
Oh, here comes the part that everybody loves. It's the long-winded promo. Sunday, January 22nd at the Bell House. You can get tickets right now for $25 at tinyurl.com/rockthebellhouse or bellhouseny.com. We have Jack Evans going up against the Infinite TIM in a top rope match, which means the only way you can win is by going off of the top rope. Ron Bass Jr., that's right, the shoot son of Ronnie Bass, is coming to Catalyst Wrestling for his first singles match. He'll be taking on Wrecking Ball Ligursky, one half of the NWA United States Tag Team Champions, in a barricade match, which is basically a fancy word for saying a lumberjack match. And also, we're going to have the Catalyst Wrestling Championship on the line. Hot Sauce Tracy Williams makes his Catalyst Wrestling debut as he takes on Darius Carter and a mystery opponent that will be announced at the start of 2023. So if you want to follow us at Catalyst Wrestle, wherever you find us on social media, that's at Catalyst Wrestle. You can head on over there and see all the hoopla for that. Also signed on the card, we have Masha Slamovich in the semifinals of the Catalyst Wrestling Women's Championship Tournament. We have a lot of great matches on the card, but the thing that makes our shows better than anything is when you show up, when you buy a ticket. We've got beer on tap. We've got a great atmosphere. We've got pro wrestling for you that you're going to want to see. If you want to see the main event take on B-Boy and Peter Avalon, we're the place for you, because we literally booked that match and we want you to come hang out and watch it. But if you're looking for a fun time in New York City, if you're looking for a variety of pro wrestling performers, a variety of styles, we've got that. If you like deathmatch guys, we've got Akira. We've got big brutes who are bruisers, like O'Shea Edwards, our television champion. We've got Jack Evans, the Infinite TIM. Homicide will be there, and we have a whole lot more planned for you. Go to tinyurl.com/rockthebellhouse. That's tinyurl.com/rockthebellhouse to get your tickets now, because if you've never been to a Catalyst Wrestling show and you want to go to like a punk rock party at a cool place in Brooklyn on a Sunday afternoon, you don't like football, but you like getting drunk with people and yelling at stuff, we're the place for you. You can follow us at Catalyst Wrestling. Also, For $10 a month, you can get all of our video archives, all of our full-length shows, and a whole lot more at StreamCatalystWrestling.com. That is StreamCatalystWrestling.com.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for all the time. Good luck on the 22nd.
Thank you, gentlemen. Happy New Year and happy holidays.
Yes, thanks. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. All right, Lobby, let's get to some news. Let's talk about Ring of Honor. What's going on with them? Can they get a syndicated show? I know, obviously, we talked about it last week. They're not going to be getting a TV show, but can they get some sort of syndication deal?
Yeah, so it's interesting because when Ring of Honor, of course, was sold to a company under Tony Khan of AEW's ownership, a lot of people were very dim on syndication, but look, what is it, about a year later, and now WOW is drawing some pretty good ratings. I think this week it was all the way up to 350,000 viewers. I think one has to look at it in a longer-term perspective. I would say, let's think about it, it's 250,000, because it could really swing week to week, but could the timing be right for ROH to return to syndicated TV in the fall? So I put out a little survey on Facebook and, on Twitter, and 40% felt yes, 30% felt maybe, and 30% said no. To me, I think it depends on the deal. I think to self-syndicate is very time-consuming, and there's, you know, not a huge return, and some stations might even want to be paid for that. But if they could get a deal sort of like WOW has, although not knowing the particulars, somebody to syndicate them to 100% of the country, I think that would be a good opportunity for Ring of Honor. And actually, in my opinion, I think it would be an even better opportunity for AEW, because you're able to reach a different audience, one that's over the air TV, people that might not go to the Turner networks or have cable or, you know, do as much internet stuff. So, you know, different possibilities to think about. So that's the overall theme with Khan-owned promotions. Interestingly, though, with Ring of Honor, sort of following a little bit of the path of later day Sinclair Ring of Honor, Athena will actually be defending her championship in Pomona, California, for Prestige Wrestling on January 21st against Miyu Yamashita. So interesting to see the belts defended outside the organization, taking a little bit of a nod from the Sinclair days.
So as far as Fight Plus is concerned, well, actually, it's funny to think about ROH and possible syndication. WOW is, you know, one really good week, and Rampage is one really bad week from WOW doing better than AEW on that market. But that's a different story, maybe for a different day. But what's going on with Fight Plus? I see there's some movement.
Yeah, so Adam Lash, who has been, you know, affiliated with pro wrestling industry for a number of years, and was a founder or one of the earliest people that was involved in IWTV. He did a series of tweets extolling the virtues of Fight Plus, sort of his own opinion. And I got a response from a promoter that's involved with Fight Plus, who was affirming at least the first part of Adam's or his first tweet in this series, that Fight Plus's business model is really a sustainable one and a good one. So I'm gonna it's worth reading this multi-tweet statement from Adam Lash. Just to be clear, this is Adam Lash's opinion and not mine, but he's somebody that's been deep with IWTV, so I think certainly worth learning from. So here we go. I think people don't quite understand that Fight Plus is more sustainable than IWTV, and not just because it has more financial backing. The way they calculate royalties is radically different, so the potential revenue for companies is significantly greater, even at the lower price. After Fight takes their cut, revenue is divided amongst all those companies based on how much their content is viewed, similar to actually what Matt was saying. Depending on how many subscribers there are, a company can make substantially more money even with the same viewership numbers that they had on IWTV. Whereas the bulk of IWTV revenue goes into the pocket of two or three people, now this is Adam words again, and into funding money losing ventures, the bulk of Fight Plus's revenue goes into the pockets of content providers. Whatever Fight makes on top of their pay-per-view revenue from Fight Plus is just gravy. People can say I'm bitter, whatever. But the truth is that IWTV has deviated from what it was intended to be. The goal was always to put money into the pockets of promoters and wrestlers, not be the primary income for Jerry or me. That changed for Jerry when he saw the rapid growth we experienced, which neither of us expected. He got greedy, as did others. Nearly 6 years after we launched, promoters are still only getting 30 cents an hour of content viewed. I'm going to repeat that, 30 cents an hour. Somebody once tweeted me something similar who helped to provide content to IWTV, a small promotion, an amount that was only supposed to be temporary while we figured things out. In some cases, promotions actually owe IWTV money because they were pressured and charged production fees to live stream events that were never going to generate the kind of viewership that would generate enough revenue to cover these expenses. That's exploitative. So I want to stay there for a moment. So according to Adam and my understanding of his tweet, not my knowledge, IWTV would encourage promoters to live stream to pay for certain production fees, but it would be very difficult for them to get a return on the revenue if they're only getting 30 cents an hour viewed. This reminds me of in some foreign countries, they'll advertise to workers, come, you know, help us build our new stadium or, you know, our new office towers or whatever it may be. We'll pay you this amount an hour. But for those workers, they have to pay a fee to get there. They have to pay for housing and expenses, and they never quite catch up on their expenses. So it's sort of like keeping them stuck where they are. That's just my aside. It sucks that a multi-million dollar corporation will probably end up doing more for independent wrestling than the company I envisioned, founded, and created. But as my brother says, it may be like that sometimes. Or what wrestler said, Mama says it bees that way sometimes. Oh, Sid. Right. Yeah, one of my favorites. So that's the mic drop from Adam Lash. But I think it sort of came and went on the internet or on Twitter with little notice. And there's a lot of like juicy content there.
Yeah, interesting. He's obviously not happy with IWTV, it seems.
No, I remember not so well, but you know, shortly afterwards, I think I forgot if it was like IWA Mid-South content. There was like a little bit of a disagreement between the owners or the founders of like using such content, and then shortly afterwards, Adam was out.
Interesting. So, what is going on in the world? We were talking about a little bit about WoW. What is going on with them?
Well, first of all, a mazel tov to Jeannie Buss. Just read this morning that she got engaged.
Comedian Jay Moore, right?
Yes. So I heard that they, you know, are front row, of course, at the have been front row for a while at the Lakers game. So best of luck to Jeannie in this forthcoming marriage. I don't know if that's said, but they're engaged. Friend Jim Varsalone of Miami Herald had an interview with David McLean and some interesting points from David. As of today, WoW is better served on television. It's not easy to tour yet. Everyone sees the difficulty in hitting the road immediately. We're still only 13 to 14 weeks into the brand new season, so we need help. We need your help, like you're giving me the time to talk to your listeners. We need every fan that watches on weekends down there in Miami to be getting on social, building up WoW. We need to be lifted up. That's what the WoW superheroes need. They need air under the wings. I think when that happens, the brand awareness, the knowledge of these performers, then we can look to touring. That's an ultimate goal of my business partner, Jeannie, who owns the Lakers, of course. She wants to bring WoW coast to coast, city to city, but we're not ready yet. We don't want to be too early in attempting to do it. So for now, it's a television event that you get to see every week, every market across the country. I thought that was really impressive statement from David because perhaps unfairly, people always see have always described the relationship in like a cynical way that David's like there. Okay, he found somebody that has a lot of money and he's going to try and get as much out of it. Not my words, but it's not really that the case because look, he's not looking to rush it. He's likely matured in terms of seeing previous iterations of WoW and even Glow. Like, take your time, make sure there's fans there. I don't think he wants to go to NBA arenas and draw, you know, less than 1,000 people. He wants this to be sustainable.
Very true. Now, as far as Impact Wrestling, I know Ed Norholm just did an interview. What's going on with Impact, and what's the latest?
Yeah, so a really great interview from Awful Announcing that no one's really covered yet. Norton said their ownership of Fight Network led to the acquisition of TNA, now Impact, after the company ran into financial trouble. Fight Network, we built that business. It's very obvious what it is. One of its best performing assets was Impact Wrestling, then known as TNA. They started to get into trouble around 2015. We knew that'd be a strong asset. We thought it would be a great opportunity to get involved as a minority interest that would give us strategic leverage, security, and global rights to the content as we were expanding outside of Canada. And at some point, as Dixie got into trouble and sort of leaned into us heavier and heavier, I put my restructuring hat on again and again and said, hey, she's not paying us. We need to take control of this thing properly and put it under our umbrella. So starting 2017, I went into Impact as operating president, took over and started rebuilding that business from the ground up. Thorum said he's pleased with how Impact has turned around since then. There have been some bumps along the way. We've got some unfortunate headwinds, but I think we've done a really great job. And it's been great for me to stand back once we got Scott D'Amore and his team involved. I'm still involved with Impact. They're kind of under my portfolio, but they're no longer day-to-day headaches. They're things that I get joy in saying I'm involved with that. He said, while Impact was partly a target over distressed asset, it made sense for Anthem to pick up content they had global rights to. When we started getting involved in Impact, part of it was to make sure we had content to expand Fight Network. We needed at least some tentpole. We didn't want to be always entering a new territory and running around to figure out if we could get rights cleared to launch a network elsewhere. We started recognizing the value of content and started to shift our focus a little more to the content of these communities rather than just the distribution networks. He said Access TV is also something that fits into their portfolio, blending a little bit of combat with a little bit of music. We had a major step forward in 2019 when we bought control of Access. Not so much into the sports side. It's sort of a variation thesis of sports version of Scripps, but it's music-centered channel. And that's interesting just by virtue of how it grew up. It's had some combat sports as well. We've carried that on. But even before we bought it, they've always had been a home for wrestling and MMA. 15 to 20% of their primetime programming has always been a comment. On the global front, Nordam cited a recent multi-year deal with DAZN to distribute Impact in 170 countries as a key step. It's getting our content back out into some of these territories that have just been very challenging for us to reach in a meaningful way over the past 4 or 5 years. DAZN is so penetrated in some of these markets, and we know that there's a wrestling audience, but broadcasters there, for one reason or another, it's been a challenging getting good quality, well-distributed coverage in places like the UK, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. We're pretty excited to reestablish ourselves in these territories, have more generous availability of the content there, get back to our base. We know they're still there. We can still see there from what they watch on our YouTube, but it's how can we make sure they're getting their regular diet, not only of our weekly shows, but our monthly specials and everything else we do. I think it's going to be a seminal transaction for us, and it will at least pave the way for Impact Wrestling to get back on the road and start getting back in the market in some of these territories where we've been dominant for several years now. So that's really interesting to see, like, in terms of their touring plans in Europe. So now, besides that interview, So from The Observer, even though Impact and Primetime Wrestling have international deals with DAZN, DAZN can't be broadcast in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and Italy because of deals with WWE, contractually state that DAZN can air no wrestling in those markets. Looking at the yearly ratings for cable, Impact, of course, and New Japan air on Access TV. So they were the 100th most watched cable channel with an average of 38,000 viewers. So New Japan above that average, and Impact, of course, far above that average.
Interesting. Interesting with them. I wonder, if they could kind of not turn it around, but if I wonder kind of get back to major relevancy. We'll see from them. What about New Japan Pro Wrestling? They're back on the board with Access TV and Wrestle Kingdom number 17.
Yeah, so one had to question, what was that relationship like in terms of what I would consider disappointing ratings, especially compared to last time they were on Access or what was speculated on. Second year with Access, Access TV continues its successful partnership with New Japan Pro Wrestling, acquiring 45 all new episodes of the promotion's popular weekly series, kicking off with 5 weeks of Wrestle Kingdom 17 coverage starting Thursday, January 12th. So interesting to see 45 new episodes, basically covering a full year with some reruns and maybe some interruption.
Interesting. Nice. Good for them. I know that they had done well on Access. Let's see if they can kind of continue and get that momentum back. What about MLW? What's going on with them?
Yeah. So in terms of talking about cable ratings, MLW's home, of course, is BN Sports. BN Sports Espanol and BN Sports Extra. So in terms of this ratings, Extra isn't on here because that's a Diginet, but BN Sports, of the 126 stations ranked, now there's 127th cable station and more, right? So just to be on the list isn't bad. But G4, which is going away or has gone away, which had WWE program, averaged 1,000 viewers in primetime. Pursuit Channel, right? Remember the old TNA Impact station when they were struggling to find a place, which is owned partly by Anthem, does 2,000 viewers in primetime. BN Sports, 3,000. And BN Sports Espanol, 4,000. Now, a quick update on the case, which against WWE, which gets complex. Judge Davila ruled that there would be a conference to set a trial date on 9/7/23. So that's already bumped, right, 9 months into the future. Davis also set forth that all amended pleadings, updates to the lawsuit, would be due by February. The two sides would then go into discovery, where they would uncover whatever material they need to argue, which would be completed by 9/29. The two sides would have to file their reports in the court by 10/26, and any rebuttals by the end of November 2023. The two sides would have to file their expert reports by December 26, 23. So by the time you hear this, probably a full year in advance, with that period ending by the end of January 2024.
Interesting. So what's the latest on AAA and Vikino?
Yes, Vikino is prohibited, as has been talked about, from streaming. So people were really had been excited, planned to see him on GCW and the LA show, which had just occurred. Defy Wrestling and so on. He cannot be streamed according to their current contract. Apparently, people were told in advance, I'm sure, by our friend Kevin Kleinrock in his work with AAA in the in booking the talent. So not attributing that to Kevin that he did do that, but just saying that he works in terms of this booking of the talent. But the word generally was that. Was that promotions were told in advance. The only difference is PWG, which mostly focuses in DVD releases, which come out a lot later. He can appear in DVDs for when he's with PWG.
What about Defy Wrestling?
Yeah, so Brett Lauderdale was pretty prescient in terms of understanding that Mox would be back on the indie scene eventually, probably show by show. No announcement yet with GCW. But in February, he's going to return to Defy, which obviously I'm sure the relationship is fine with AEW, but they're not a partner as has been defined by AEW in the past, like a New Japan. So interesting to see that Mox can get himself back out there, maybe depending on the promotion and the show and timing.
And what about, oh, that's pretty interesting with Mox, but what's going on with the NWA? What's the latest?
Yeah, so Kerry Morton, everyone's favorite, has announced that he extended and signed a deal with the NWA, a current World Junior Heavyweight Champion, a great talent, really a shining star with the NWA and a legacy favorite of everyone as well. A couple other talents signed as well. So for everyone's criticism of the NWA, people are getting deals that, contracts them sort of as the promotion of preference, I guess you would say. And if they're available to work on the shows that conflict, you know, they could do so because NWA runs a limited schedule.
What about Premier? We keep talking about, you know, Fight Plus, but what's going on with the latest on Premier?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One is that Combat Zone deal was a little bit misrepresented. It wasn't exclusive. There's still going to be those pay-per-views on TV from what I understand. You know, they call it like Bloodiest Battles, Women Go Wild, and so, you know, I'm just paraphrasing how they've marketed CCW, not Premiere, but other forces, basically Stonecutter Media, I think, deals with that distribution. Interestingly, and no one really talks about, Stonecutter Media actually owns the trademarks to CZW. So while it's, I don't understand how it works, how one company can own the trademarks and the other company can still own it. Maybe they needed money at some point or something like that, or maybe the ownership isn't exactly clear, but that's a little bit down a different road. The other announcement from Premiere, the main one of the week, was that they're continuing to build their content library. WrestlePro and sister promotion, if not geographically close, WrestlePro Alaska, they have a fair amount of footage with the known stars, so they'll be coming to Premiere as well.
Nice. Good job by Premiere getting some good content to start off on the channel.
Yeah. You know, it'll be interesting, like, for Premiere to find space. So they've been building it up, right? CZW, WrestlePro, Blizzard Brawl, and so on. So it all has an appeal, but there's not that diamond yet, that one company or attraction, I feel, that would say to somebody, oh, I must sign up. But there's a lot of like interesting supplemental material. So I don't want to be dim on them yet, but I'm just curious, just waiting to see if that happens. If not, if they can break out by continuing to announce these interesting deals.
Nice. All right. Great way to end it. Let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at 2-Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Lavi, what do you got?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, LavieMarg. And if you'd like to sponsor us for 2023, great rates available. Just send me a DM on Twitter. Those are open. Or email LavieMarg, LavieMarg at gmail.com. And have a happy and healthy holiday season and new year.
Yes, happy holidays, everybody. I thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next week for a little business of the business. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.